Syria and Saudi Arabia are resuming consular services and flights for the first time since the 2011 uprising and civil war. The Syrian foreign minister is in Jeddah on the first such visit in over a decade. Faisal Maqdad met Prince Faisal bin Farhan. The two discussed efforts to find a political solution to the Syrian crisis. Now, the kingdom supported Syria's opposition at the beginning of the civil war in 2011. It closed its embassy in Damascus and expelled the Syrian ambassador in 2012. But relations with Bashar al-Assad's government have improved in recent months, gathering momentum after Syria's ally Iran agreed to restore diplomatic ties with Saudi Arabia. The normalization of ties between Riyadh and Damascus signals that Syria's regional isolation could be nearing an end. Well, Marwan Mishal is Al Jazeera's senior political analyst. He's joining us live now from London. Marwan, why have these links between Saudi Arabia and Syria improved?
Mostly on pragmatic basis. And by the way, in terms of chronology, the Saudi crown prince, since basically becoming so back in 2015, 2017 onward, he basically accepted the fact that Assad is staying, and he said so publicly, that Saudi Arabia understands that Assad is going nowhere. And basically, if he didn't lose, you know, he kind of won somehow his civil, little civil war. And by 2018, he's already told also the Syrian opposition that Saudi Arabia could no longer support it. So you could say that this has been going on for 5 years now, that Riyadh understood that they're going to have to come to terms with the idea that Assad, the Assad regime, despite its killings and bloodshed and so on and so forth, is here to stay. And the only reason that they've held back for so long now is simply because they were hoping that Assad would distance his regime from Iran. But as you know, Saudi Arabia is doing its own rapprochement with Iran as of the last few weeks, and hence that condition no longer really applies. And so the road to more normalization, if you will, between the two countries opened up.
Whenever we see deals like this, no deal, we know, in the real world is ever done out of pure goodwill. There must be some give and take on both sides. In your assessment, what would Syria have had to give up, if you like, in order to facilitate this meeting, this joining of forces again with Saudi Arabia?
Well, clearly there's going to be certain conditions, but there will not be preconditions, right? I mean, clearly in these talks, there will be some understandings about what Syria would be doing next, where, right, and about its relationship with Iran, and how and where it's going to be dealing with the armed groups, and what sort of a deal would it arrive at in order to recover sovereignty, you know, over the country, and of when there would be some form of an electoral process of some kind, right, moving forward for some form of normalization, or I would say, I would call it saving face. But I think for the time being, what is really at stake for Saudi Arabia is not really what's going to go inside Syria. It's more about what's going on inside Saudi Arabia. And I think for the Saudi crown prince, for the Saudi royal family, what's important is basically disentangling the kingdom from various crises, whether it's Iran, Yemen, and Syria and others in the region, in order to focus on the internal situation within, and two, in order for Saudi Arabia to recover its regional role, you know, as a regional power. And I think it's important at this point in time, since it's hosting an Arab League summit, for Saudi Arabia to be taking the initiative on Syria, knowing that all other countries, or most other countries, with the exception of the likes of Qatar, Kuwait, and others, that the rest are basically normalizing relations with Syria, and hence why not Saudi Arabia take the initiative in order to once again, you know, appear like that of a leader within the region. Mm.
Marwan, I want to ask you about the global context to all of this. Since the war in Ukraine, we've seen essentially a polarization to some degree of forces, with the U.S. on one side, Western forces, China, Russia, and their forces. And, of course, Iran is an ally of Russia and China. Are we seeing a point where Saudi Arabia is, as part of its foreign policy, taking sides?
I think the Saudis, like others, have gone hybrid. Hybrid meaning now they're mixing and choosing and mixing between various regional and global powers. So Saudi Arabia feels, you know, secure enough to pursue relations with China, as well as the United States, as well as with India and Japan, on, with Iran, as well as, you know, with Egypt, and so on and so forth. So I think Saudi Arabia has gone hybrid. It doesn't feel like it needs to be in one camp rather than the other. But also others like Brazil, India, South Africa, you know, we know of many different countries now are also gone hybrid. I think what's interesting in the context of both Ukraine and Syria is that Saudi Arabia for a long time held back also because the United States, you know, is opposed, if you will, to normalization with Assad, even though the Biden administration, like the administration before it, the Trump administration, failed utterly in Syria and basically doesn't have a strategy of any sort. So now Saudi Arabia is basically saying, look, you don't have a successful strategy in Syria. You're not doing much for the country. We don't have much to say because since 2018, we basically admit that Assad's going to stay. So we're basically going to break with you, meaning the United States, and we're going to normalize relation with Assad. That's, of course, in tune with the rapprochement with Iran, in tune with the rapprochement with China. And hence, you could say that Saudi Arabia and others are playing more independent roles within the region, hoping to be able to take advantage of the various tensions around the world, whether they are Russians and Americans or Chinese and Americans, Europeans and American or what have you.
Marwan Bashara, Al Jazeera's senior political analyst. Marwan, as always, thank you very much indeed.